This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with Philip. Looking over all the crazy things that happened to you in or about the area of Rendlesham, what do you think was the absolute craziness, or is that something you've already told us?
I'm sorry, Gene, but what do you mean?
In terms of your experiences, what do you think was the most, the vicinity of Rendlesham?
That was the pinnacle. The 8th of June 1998 event was the pinnacle event, and it's something I've never forgotten, not even to this day, after all these years. We did make a full report about it the very next day. We wanted to keep it fresh within our minds. So someone somewhere has got the reports and the pictures that we drew. It just hasn't come to any attention. And it's not like, you know, this is the really nasty thing about it. People will say to you, oh, you just want the fame, you want the publicity. But there again, if you don't report what you've seen and you don't voice your opinion that you've been through this experience, then what happens? It's almost as if there's a part of you crying out to say, this phenomenon is real, it exists. We don't understand what it is, we don't understand where it comes from, but you're attacked on both sides, so there's no way of winning. And this is the horrible psychological weapon that people use against you continuously, and it doesn't bother me anymore. When you've been touched by this singularity, I think a lot of people find that there is a history of it, not just with Rendlesham, but with the individual themselves going into their past. And it's almost as if on a personal level of integration, this phenomena is somehow, how can I say it, changing us. People become more open and not so plastic. We serve a system that's intent in creating us as walking robots or, you know, automatons that are there to serve it, to believe what the system tells us is truth when it's not. And these cracks are starting to appear. And one of the other things you'll find is that I think we're discovering now is that there are psychic components on a conscious level that's connected with this phenomena. It's not just, oh, it's a UFO coming from another planet. There are several other theories, and I'm very open to all of them because most researchers are quite adamant that, oh, it's us from the future, or it's, you know, demons coming from another dimension, or it's aliens coming from Zeta Reticuli. I think we're finding that this phenomena is very multi-complex and is very clever in the way that it reveals itself to its audience or its to experience or abductee or whoever. So I think that, you know, in a lot of cases with regards to the UFO phenomena at present, we're beginning to find now where we separated certain categories like cryptozoology, ufology, you know, ghosts, all this type of thing, we're beginning to realize there are common denominators that fit one to the other or connect with them. So, you know, this is very interesting in terms of what the phenomena itself may be or may represent on a universal level. But certainly it's clever enough to mix up the events to make out that, you know, one person is seeing this and another person is seeing that in most cases. So, you know, I think that looking at the Rendlesham case itself is very complex, and you'll find that a lot of people have fallen out. They don't get on. Some people are rigid within their belief system in stating, well, it's this or it's that. But you have to be there. This is what I'm saying. You have to be there in order to understand what that feels like. If you've done your investigations and you've actually been there in your boots and your coats and your torches and your hot coffee, it changes a lot of things. It's all right for a lot of people who do their research within their armchairs. If you're actually there yourself, it changes everything. So there's a lot of differences with regards to that. You know, I believe that there is something. I believe that it is not terrestrial in nature. I think that we may be looking at a phenomena that seems to be activated through or via our human consciousness, rather like us entering a nest, and then, of course, it triggers that nest or whatever's in the nest of activity that wants to promote these levels of high strangeness.
I wanted to ask you about this, affecting your consciousness. Are you talking about the collective unconscious there?
It is possible. I mean, the mind is the component that works through and translates through the human brain. No different, say, from the signals that go through to your mobile phone. You've got the physical apparatus of the mobile phone, and people think, oh, it's a snazzy device, but it's actually the phone itself. And each mobile phone receives information and also is able to send information out. And if you look at the multitude of other phones around the world and all the signals going out there, there are billions of signals emanating into the ether. So why should consciousness be any different, although on an organic level, that we are projecting images and information out continuously, over and over again? The mind creates the most beautiful things. It also can create the most horrendous things. But who's to say that perhaps that through our sending this information out, that we haven't created our worst nightmares, as it were, that's now coming back on a level or certain levels to interact with us? So is it the fabrication of imagery or information that we're sending out into the ether? Are we creating this on a different level? It's possible. We cannot deny that, you know, because everything we create is via the mind, and, you know, films and music and, you know, creatures, all sorts of things that we manifest and create and we bring to life here. But who's to say it doesn't have a life of its own? And of course, when you go back into mythology, when you had the fairies and the gnomes and all the rest of it, you know, most people believe they're real. It is true to say, and some people believe they're mere fantasy. So I think that the consciousness has or may have a great deal to do with this, a great part to deal with this, because we are, after all, creators of the mind. We don't understand enough about the mind, and the simple reason is because it's so contained from a system that tells us that, you know, this doesn't exist and that doesn't exist. But it could be possible that there are other dimensions of reality that are mind, and that this intelligence or this form or this creation has found its way back through to us on some level. It's an interesting hypothesis, isn't it?
Do we separate then that from the possibility of physical beings from another planet or from the multiverse?
Well, that's an interesting question, but take this as an example. The famous case of Betty and Barney Hill, which you know happened in New Hampshire, 1961. Sure. And of course, you know, Betty and Barney, a lovely couple, were abducted by these greys, a grey alien-type beings. Betty was shown a star map to show which star system they came from, which was denoted, or they found out through Marjorie Fish, who created the star map, that it was Zeta Reticuli. Well, my argument is, do you really believe that these great aliens had traveled all the way from Zeta Reticuli just to capture this lovely couple?
The other question is, are there planets orbiting that binary star system? And so far, in terms of extrasolar planets, I don't think so. But you made the point there. Can we believe what information they conveyed to the Hills?
Exactly. You know, they obviously knew enough about the star systems to show Betty and to perhaps tell her through lies that they were from this system. But why would they travel all that way just to kidnap this couple? And also, a point of interest with regards to that case is that when Barney was being examined, you know, the examiner came in and tried to pull Betty's teeth out. They couldn't work out why Barney's teeth came out. And, of course, Betty had to explain to them that he was wearing false teeth. And, of course, so is this the first time they'd adopted a couple and they'd come across a human that had false teeth? No, I think there's something far deeper that interlinks with this. And, of course, when you're dealing with abductions or levels of abductions, the abductions seem to come on a completely different level from the so-called physical interaction of UFOs. Remember that Betty's dreams came through in dream state. Her experiences came through on a deeper level of the subconscious mind. So my argument is, are these entities able to infiltrate into the pathway of our consciousness itself on a different level altogether? You know, and this is something I've been looking into.
Hey, you know, I'm going to ask you something else about the Hills in our next segment. Of course, Barney Hill died in the 1960s. I did meet Betty Hill a couple of times. This was back in the 1970s. Seemed like a perfectly nice woman. Who knows? Philip, Jean, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, people, of course, attack me over this, but I'll repeat the theory once again. The Hills live near a military base. Many of the people that they knew as friends were in the military. And I thought, is it possible they were the victims of some kind of government mind control experiment. I mean, we have to understand the government of the United States has pulled some interesting stunts in terms of experimentation. Here we have the early 1960s, the civil rights era, an interracial couple already suffering because of the discrimination that existed them particularly. Would they have been subject to some kind of experiment?
That is a very interesting speculation and one that has to be left open. You hear so much about, you know, these experiments, mind control experiments, and I have no doubt absolutely that they have occurred and still continue to occur. When we're dealing with the mind, it becomes very messy because there's no way of establishing what is fact and what is fiction. You know, the same applies with a lot of people that state that they are in contact with the Galactic Federation and so on and so forth. Most of these come through the dream state, but we have to be very careful. Because when we're dealing with areas of psychic phenomena, we realize that mediums and that remote viewers also tend to bring back a lot of correct information. Were the Hills set up? I don't know. My own personal belief is that they had experienced something that was not of this realm. But at the same token, we don't understand why this occurred to them and why it had such drastic events upon Barney's health. And also, a lot of UFO activity does seem to occur within and around military installation sites. Take Roswell, for example. I'm sorry, I know people roll their eyes up. But again, we have the case of the Roswell event happening near a military installation. The same with Rendlesham, again, near a military facility. So it does make you pause and wonder whether or not there is some kind of military connection here. Now, it is also true to state that our own military had tight-lipped about UFOs, and certainly going up in the base of command, it becomes even messier. Are we dealing with interdimensional craft or beings? Are we dealing with physical beings? If we go back into UFO history, you know, most notably in the 1950s, we had the Space Brothers, but no one really saw them. You know, they came to certain individuals who claimed to be famous contactees, and we never saw who these Space Brothers were. It was all very secret. And again, people suggest that perhaps that these contactees were set up by military establishments to state that, you know, to mess up the whole subject matter, and it's possible to be used to cover up the real reasons of behind the UFO phenomena, which could be some kind of psychological experiment. We just don't know. My own personal take, my own theory is that there are UFOs, such things as what we call UFOs, but we don't yet understand enough about what they are or what they represent. But it certainly gets very messy, doesn't it?
Well, speaking of messiness, I'll give you an example, and Nick Redfern tells of this from time to time. Orfeo Angelucci, one of the contactees, meets somebody, I think from the military, one of his contacts anyway, in a diner, and takes this tab. And then, as they say in that song, A Day in a Life, he went into a dream.
Yes, and that's very strange. It's almost like the Men in Black, the famous cases where in the films they had a light and, of course, they wiped your memory. You've got to have a sense of humor with this. I no doubt that the military themselves or certain factions of secret military units have been exploring how to promote control, mind control, or, you know, implant dreams, kind of like, you know, control people. There was a case, a very famous case in America that made me think a lot about that, where the guy went into a cinema through one of the showings of one of the Batman movies, I think it was, and then shot people. And I always thought that was very strange because the guy didn't understand what he was doing. And it could be possible that certain military factions or secret factions have been using certain individuals to see how well their weapon could work. And of course, you know, when you're dealing with psychic warfare, that's a different ballgame altogether. I don't understand, however, with regards to the Hills, why the military would promote this. to such a lovely couple. I have no idea why they would instigate that. Indeed, they were interested in the actual UFO itself with the extendable tips on the sides that came out. Now, the military seemed to be very interested in that. So I think from that they did experience a UFO or what they considered to be an object not of this world and had interacted on another level with these beings. So, you know, I know there are two arguments to that, but that's my take, the way I understand it.
I want to go back to Roswell for the R word, folks, and people are sick and tired of Roswell, but there's always something to talk about. So we have the initial incident where they recovered a flying disc. They didn't say it was wreckage in the original release. Then, no, here's that photo. It was just a balloon. And the story disappears for over 30 years. And then Stan Friedman talks to somebody, I think around Pittsburgh, as I recall, late 70s. This person explains what happened, all the information that has been kept under wraps for over 30 years. And then lots of people come out of the woodwork remembering this. And the question is here, separating the reality, the original event, then the cover-up, quote-unquote, of the event, and then memories over 30 years later, living through cultural changes, imperfect memories, coming up with a story that we, or a lot of people in the UFO field, accept now. But the problem, again, is what happened during that intervening years from the time of the burial of the story or the end of the story and its resurrection.
Yes, understood. But one of the things I find very strange was that, first of all, in the Roswell newspaper, the military admitted that they had in their possession a flying disc and then changed it to that of a weather balloon, a secret right. weather balloon. Now, one of the key points here, which is very interesting, is if the American military or the army at that time had in their possession a top secret weather balloon, they would have been tracking it. They would have known about it. But unfortunately, it took Mac Brazel, you know, who went into town with pieces of this debris, to Sheriff Wilcox, and of course, who then in turn contacted the Army Roswell Airfield, and that's where the story changed. My argument is, if, first of all, this was some kind of secret weather balloon, the military weren't aware of its whereabouts. They didn't even know it was about. So that was one of the contradictions within the story. And, of course, back in the day, the only way of communicating was through the telephone, the television, and also with regards to newspapers. So I don't know. My brother, Ronald, has written about this and suggests that perhaps it was some kind of Trojan horse in the sense that whatever this thing was wanted to deliberately down itself for the military to find pieces of the debris and back engineer it. But there again, you see, there's been a lot of reports of these crashed UFOs or alleged crashed UFOs around different parts of the world, and we believe or are said to believe that the wreckage is sent back to America where it's analyzed and studied.
Let's study this, folks. Philip, Jean, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. World Cup fever is here.
Argentina's soccer sensation Lionel Messi, his jerseys are sold out ahead of the World Cup final. Adidas says all its store shelves around the world are completely empty of the Argentina number 10 jerseys. The German company says it's rushing to get more Messi jerseys in stores as soon as possible. Messi, one of the greatest soccer players ever, he will attempt to win his first World Cup when Argentina faces France in Qatar later today.
North Korea firing a pair of ballistic missiles, its first weapons test in a month, with the hopes of those missiles eventually being able to reach the U.S. mainland. Sharon Osbourne, 70, the wife of rocker Ozzy Osbourne, is home resting comfortably after suffering a medical emergency while filming a TV show in California. Corey Myers, USA News.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications in a variety of formats.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, when we talk about the Americans getting a hold of the wreckage of a flying craft, of course, we have the Roswell case, but we also have Varginha in Brazil, 1996, crash UFO, being seen, maybe related to all that, recovered, taken by the military, and then allegedly being transported to the U.S. Now, we had on the Paracast a few weeks ago, as regular listeners know, James Fox, director of Moment of Contact, a documentary about Varginha. Now, one of the people seen there and somebody who was on the Paracast five times was Brazilian researcher A.J. Gavert. Really, really nice guy, and he died recently, unfortunately, and we wish our best to his family and friends. But as they say, they're just going. The people in the UFO field wanted to mention that amongst the subjects we discussed because of his status and everything. But we go back to Varginha, it's the same thing. The U.S. military has a hold of it. And I wanted to discuss one of the cases after that, but what do you think, Philip, about the military in the U.S. having the monopoly on the wreckage of crashed UFOs?
Well, the United States of America is one of the supreme forces within the world. I have to acknowledge that, you know, your country has one of the best scientific teams in terms of intelligence and command. So I think and feel on some level there must be some kind of agreement from other countries that should some kind of ultra or extraterrestrial wreckage come down. And notice how they always come down in relatively remote regions. So there must be some kind of contract or clause that the wreckage or the whatever's found is shipped back to the United States for their analysis. But unfortunately, the operations are so top secret, a lot of the evidence is mere hearsay. We have that from, of course, the late Colonel Philip J. Corso, who wrote the book The Day After Roswell with William Burns. You know, there's so much speculation and controversy. You get some people stating that, well, you know, the way that we've made leaps forward with technology is due to crashed alien technology. And at the same token, we have people stating, no, that's not the case, that we found our own way forward. So I think, and Phil, it's very strange to assume that these UFOs are coming down deliberately in remote regions or not actually in hugely populated areas, where I think it's very rare indeed for that to happen, which begs the question, why? You know, is this intelligence, whatever it is, deliberately downing some kind of like Trojan horse or something for us to find? And why is it that a lot of the cases of the aliens reported or allegedly reported through these crashes are quite different?
We first have to talk about reverse engineering. I want to get back to that because you dropped it, that book, Day After Roswell. And William Burns did come on the PowerCast a few times in the old days. We've tried to get him back on the show and haven't heard back from him. I hope he's okay. In any case, the book The Day After Roswell was, as far as I'm concerned, total nonsense. Because Philip Corso made statements there that simply don't make sense, that suddenly he's an insider who's the bag man for alien technology. And when we look at the history of the alien technology he allegedly handed out, there are perfectly reasonable histories, such as from night vision goggles that date back to the Germans in the 1930s. Perfectly reasonable theories. And so I think, in large part, Corso's statement was basically discounted. The other question here is, if a spacecraft containing advanced technology crashes here, would we be able to do anything with it? And I'll give you an example of that. Take your iPhone. Today, the iPhone 14 Pro is faster than most personal computers. It's a little tiny thing. Now, consider what that is. And I'll give you another example of how technology advances. Today, you want to buy a hard drive for your computer. Each gigabyte of data costs about a penny. Okay? Costs about a penny. Back in the late 80s, I paid $1,200 for a hard drive with 100 megabytes, 10% of that. In other words, my $1,200 investment would today be worth a tenth of a penny. But okay, take an iPhone, go back to 1947, hand it to the top scientists of that day and say, okay, figure it out, folks.
Well, I have to say to you that my idea of what we call, or we can only dream, or because I've never come across a crashed saucer, but my idea is, you know, their technology would be so far in advance of ours that we would not be able to understand it. It would rather be like, as the old saying goes, a chimpanzee being handed, you know, as you say, a mobile phone. They wouldn't know how it worked. But it could be possible to some degree that whatever this intelligence is behind this is kind of like integrating its idea of how we would evolve. I mean, that's one area we can take. But I agree with you that a lot of these reports of UFOs and people that go in them, you know, they've had, visits around the anti-gravity mechanisms and, you know, seeing how they work. It's all very childlike within its quality. Don't get me wrong. I do firmly believe in the UFO hypothesis, but I don't believe that we would be able to get our heads around how such objects work if they are indeed coming through some kind of interdimensional wormhole or, you know, however they're doing it is quite incredible. And it's clear to see that I don't think that a lot of them are coming through space because, as we found, there's a lot of difficulties through transversing space and a lot of energy has to be accrued through that. So it's possible that these objects are integrating themselves into our level of reality through an interdimensional means. So again, I don't feel that we would be able to understand it. You're right also, Gene, in terms of Roswell, you know, finding like wires and these types of technology, I don't seem to buy that on some level. I can't get my head around it, because whatever intelligence crashed would, you know, clearly indicates that we would know how to reverse engineer that technology. And of course, we apparently had done it. So I'm not so sure about that. I can't, you know, make an assumption on that. But I agree with what you're saying totally.
The other thing I worry about with these crashes is that I assume if there are a number of space people in their craft visiting us, they have contingency plans in place. So if for any reason one of their craft crash lands, wouldn't they arrange to recover it and maybe use some kind of mind control techniques so we didn't remember what happened? Consider Roswell. Did they actually take something back, or did the UFO nauts, whoever they are, do something to recover their craft and make sure that we had memories of the event that differed from what really happened? It doesn't make sense. They wouldn't do anything. Unless they're, of course, we're talking about alien technology, alien motivations and everything. But I know we primitive earthlings, if one of our aircraft crashes, we do something about it. We want to get to the scene, see what's going on, and deal with the damage. And also, if it's in another country, make sure the military in that country doesn't learn our technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of people are saying, let's give an example here. Something I'm very interested in is with regards to the abduction phenomena and creating some parallels with the abduction phenomena and, you know, why it is that, you know, these aliens, when they come in close proximity to an individual, if they had this technology, why don't they simply beam the abductee or the experiencer up to their awaiting craft? Why is it that the entities in most cases have to be in close proximity to the individual as an abduction is being initiated?
I can imagine they saying, Klaatu, beam me up, Klaatu. There's no, by the way, beam me up, Scotty. Captain Kirk never said that. He always said, Scotty, beam me up. Had a head with a name. So it's Klaatu, beam me up. In the meantime, Philip will beam up to join us on the After the Paracast podcast also. That's part of the Paracast Plus streaming service at theparacast.plus. Gene, Philip, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The question is, with that segue there, would Tim Swartz be beamed up or sent back? I wanted to bring something there into play because we're talking about crashes briefly. And that is Chapter 11, A Visit to Wendell Stevens.
Yes.
Now, forgetting everything else and his legal problems, which are of very serious concern, he wrote this book called UFO Crash at Aztec, A Well-Kept Secret. Now, in the early years of the Paracast, we featured Scott Ramsey, an independent researcher from back east, who investigated Aztec, spent apparently like $500,000 to finance it, wrote a book about it, which came out in two versions, the original self-published book, then he got another publisher to handle it. But when we talk about Aztec, it's the case that never dies. You dig a stake through it, like Count Dracula, and you remove the stakes back. The problem with Aztec is that the evidence, and I've looked at it over and over again, is very threadbare. It's based on the claims of two con men in a book called Behind the Flying Saucers from Frank Scully, written in 1950, He being a gossip columnist, not a serious journalist, a gossip columnist. And that's fine. It was a perfectly normal UFO book, and he brings up this crash. But people in Aztec, New Mexico, in 1948, when this allegedly happened, don't seem to have a cultural memory. In fact, on our After the Paracast podcast, part of our Paracast Plus streaming service, some years back we interviewed somebody who lived in Aztec at the time this happened, and he said, didn't remember it, went to a class reunion years later, 50 years later or something, and he goes and talks to his friends. Do you remember any of this? No. Then he talks about the book from Ramsey, and he said he got a lot of the places wrong, a lot of the information about Aztec wrong. So the question I have here is, can we even accept anything Stephen says because he bought into this case?
Well, it's the same as the new book that came out not so long ago by Jack Vallée. And, of course, the book that was supposed to be an event that occurred before Roswell in 1947.
It's written with Paula Harris.
That's correct, yes. And in the book Trinity, The Best-Kept Secret, you know, there was a lot of contradicting elements within that book with witness testimony. And one of the things I found unbelievable was the fact that they had used some of the wreckage from the object as Christmas decorations. And it was something that I found very hard to believe myself, you know, in a way that most of the witnesses in this, the few witnesses, seemed to be contradicting with their stories. And no one had heard about this. No one had heard anything about it. So I do agree with you in terms of that, that, you know, a lot of the reports of crashed UFOs does come, again, with a lot of contradicting evidence and levels of high strangeness that can't be proved. But there again, nothing in the UFO-filled investigations can be proved. So are we all barking up the wrong tree? We have no idea.
That might be true, but we're talking about something here where tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people have seen UFOs.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. And I have to be counted as one of them. But when you've had the experience, you know, people say UFOs. To me, it didn't seem to appear to come from this side of life or where we are at present in the physical world. It just came in and came out. And it was very quick. So, you know, I think that, you know, if we are all believing that there are no such things as UFOs, then what is it that we're reporting? What are we seeing? What are we examining in terms of film footage, radar footage, that type of thing? It's just completely strange. And also, in part to that, there are two constructs to the UFO field of investigations. It's not just the viewing of the UFO, which seems to alter our sense of reality, but also then a deeper projection of what we call alien encounters that come on a completely different level and almost subtly integrating on a deeper level of the human psyche, that is the subconscious mind, where it secretes itself. So I believe that perhaps we're dealing with an intelligence that is not so nuts and bolts in nature, if I can put it that way, unless, of course, the phenomena itself has a way of integrating or molding itself into our reality. That is to say that starting to take bits and pieces from our world and integrating itself on a physical level so that it's able to connect with us on that part. So it's certainly something to think about, isn't it?
One of the things that comes to my mind when you were talking earlier about possible debris that had been found, talking about, you know, like Philip Corso in his book, is that a lot of times when this debris is found, it seems to have a very, you know, mundane terrestrial origin. And it has me thinking, if you go back and look into, say, like fairy lore, when people interact with the fae and are oftentimes given gifts, at first it appears that they have something truly magnificent, you know, a basket full of gold or jewels or what have you. But later that turns into, say, straw or sticks or something less than spectacular. And a lot of times the UFO phenomena seems to follow that same kind of pattern.
You know, I don't claim anything. I had, some years ago now, a very clear vision, if that's the right word to use. And it was very strange, and I knew that it was a vision and not so much as a dream, because there was some kind of hidden language within it. In this vision, I would find myself standing by an open window that was dark outside. There was no glass in the window. I could put my hand through it. And I could see above the window a UFO. Spectacular. Absolutely incredible. It looked so real to me. It was so solid. And I felt like, my goodness, that is real. I want to know what that is. I want to know what the UFO is. And as it came closer and closer, what I held in my hand was, the first one was a dirty metal old pipe. The second vision on the second night played out exactly the same. But in this vision, as the UFO came closer, it turned into a dirty bottle. My question is that, is the phenomena something that molds itself into an item or something that we wouldn't be able to even understand? You know, is it something that is so close to us that we can't see it? Or, you know, does the phenomena mold into our reality and is deliberately, we won't be able to catch it, we don't know what it is. So I understand from what you're saying there, Tim, that it's these cases where people go on a UFO and one person at one event saw this kind of modern clock thing, wanted to take it, and it was told, and it was taken back from them. The same with Betty Hill when she wanted this book that seemed to be holographic in nature, and there was an argument with the entities saying to her that she couldn't have it when she'd been promised the book. So over and over again, you get these very strange occurrences whereby, you know, abductees or experiences or whatever see something, they think, my goodness, that's the proof that I need. And when it comes to taking it, they're denied it. So again, we can see with fairy, or the fae as you call them, which is the correct terminology, and in terms of all these strange experiences, not always UFO related, where, you know, this phenomena occurs. I will tell you something quite strange though. Philip Mantle told me a story that's well known within his family about his mother. And his mum, as a child, had gone out into the fields, and his mum, Philip Mantle's mum, was a no-nonsense lady, very grounded, very black and white, and when she was a child, she actually met this fairy, and this fairy told her that if you drink this solution in this bottle, you'll never get ill, you'll be fine throughout all your life. Well, she drank it, and of course, nothing in her life ever did happen to her until, of course, she did pass over. So she never became ill or anything like that. And, of course, Philip Mantle will tell you straight on that's exactly what happened. So, you know, most people would stand back and say that's impossible. I don't believe that. That was just a dream. You must have, you know, been seeing something else. But again, these levels of high strangeness continue over and over again. So I think this intelligence, whatever it is, does not want to make a personal interaction with us on any level. It's quite plain to see. I mean, can you blame them as the human species? I mean, we don't even know how to deal with one another, let alone another intelligence. But at the same token, it's possible that the phenomena, there are two aspects to this. It's possible that the phenomena is out for its own means. That means it wants something from us, or it's trying to get us to follow a path that we shouldn't really be going down, that it wants us to go down. Or it is possible entirely that we're dealing with a phenomena that, you know, does not have our best interests at heart.
I want to ask you more about its interests in us and whether it has our best interests in heart. We have Philip and Jean and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.